Hey there, welcome to Broadcast to Post. I'm Jeff Sengpiel, CTO at Keycode Media. This is the show where we interview leaders and experts in the AV, broadcast, and post-production spaces. We're giving you the inside tips to grow your media workflows and business today. Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the State of NDI 2022 episode of Broadcast to Post. I'm your host, Jeff Sengpiel. NDI is certainly the most easy-to-use and feature-full IP standard today. When NDI was first introduced by the NewTek team in Europe's IBC back in 2015, the buzz was all about presenting the future of video. As we're approaching the six-year anniversary since that launch, the future is a lot more in the present tense. For example, a NewTek TriCaster 2 Elite does 32 inputs and 48 outputs of NDI. Today, there's well over 1,000 companies and developers shipping or developing NDI-enabled products through the NDI SDK program. Some of those we've highlighted in this eye chart graphic here. Now, as you probably already know, a big differentiator from other IP standards is that NDI tools are a suite of free software that does everything from screen capture, VLC, real-time I/O, to Premiere Pro. NDI Bridge is the latest hyped tool because it allows a bridge to be built between two or more local NDI networks over the public internet. You can control a PTZ in New York or a TriCaster in Chicago from Los Angeles or Des Moines. The possibilities are huge. If you want to dig deeper into that, I'd recommend looking at our State of NDI 2021, hosted by yours truly, and NDI Bridge episode of Broadcast to Post on our YouTube channel. We'll have the links for them below. There's also a phenomenal community out there, and a shout out to the NDI Video Users Facebook group. Okay, I guess the question we're left with is, what are the challenges with NDI? What are the limitations? Well, if we take a quick look at the NDI Video Users group, it'll tell you. Some folks are seeing dropped frames, audio delays, latency, inability to connect devices, but why are some folks having these challenges? Well, a lot of it simply depends. It can be an issue of incompatible versions, firmware, or setup of the network. Or maybe your network lacks the oomph. Here's the thing. The protocol itself is rarely the issue. It's going to be something else. This is when we recommend you contact the Keycode Media team, the most trusted systems integrator and reseller in live production, post-production, and AV workflows. We've got a fleet of engineers who are designing NDI workflows that will just work from the start. The team also offers 24/7 support covering all the tools connected in your production, helping you fix if anything needs fixing. There's a reason why Keycode Media is the number one preferred reseller for NewTek year after year after year. And we're going to transition to interviewing the folks from Canton CCSTV television team about how they built an NDI TV studio. And we'll come back with our live podcast panel of experts asking my questions, followed by any questions our live audience submits in the chat.
Keycode Media. AV Broadcast Post-Production. Keeping your head on technology.
CCSTV is a local broadcast network in Canton, Ohio. It's primarily led by students in the broadcast media program at McKinley High School. They produce shows for CCSTV and Bulldog TV. And direct from the district central office administration, the channel can perform live cut-ins of important district information. CCSTV and Bulldog TV are available to Canton Spectrum cable subscribers and also available on Roku and Apple TV. Bill Wiedner is the broadcast program supervisor, and Trent Comer is the station technician. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your production, your shows, your crews, anything that would be really cool to know.
Well, we're one of those rarities of doing a pretty much a full-scale television production in the confines of a schoolhouse. We have juniors and seniors in high school with teachers and bells that ring and non-understanding, non-technical administrators, but we have a really good time at it, and we put out what I think is a great product 24/7, 365 on our two access channels on Spectrum, and then also on all of our OTTs.
It seems that educational TV in high school has come a long way since my days. We did an hour on Thursdays, maybe. Sometimes we get to 40 minutes, however long the show went, it went. So tell us a little about the broadcast live production workflow for your shows. Is it the same for every show, or is it going to be slightly different based upon the type of program?
Oh, it could be more different depending on the program. On the curricular side of things, we're tied to a what's called a curricular map. And our teacher, Mrs. Power, does a wonderful job of planning out how she's going to deliver the instruction to get the students up to speed on the basics of working in a studio. Camera work, pan, tilt, basic things like that, microphones, lavalier, cardioid, those kind of things. And then coming into this production area here, we have our TriCaster. And so that's what we're trying to train the students on so that when they leave, they've got the experience that they could be, you know, production assistant on a reasonably well advanced film crew. So on the student production shows, that is tightly regulated as far as we have to run the studio according to a bell schedule. The students come at 9:30 and they leave at 11:15 for lunch. And so when the lunch bell rings, you had better have your taping done because they're not going to be back for an hour. Students being that, they're out. But that's the curricular side of things.
And that's live to tape.
And that's live to tape. We try and do as much as we can. We're also an Avid house. And so we have workstations for the students to do. So they'll go out and shoot a package. They'll come in and then they'll roll that package into a show. And then that show is pretty much straight to air. And so that's the live to tape part. And so we've got how many Avid workstations now?
35.
35 Avid workstations.
For post-production, during production, we record live from NDI straight to the SNS Evos. And then all of our editing stations has access to all the what we record in the studio.
Right. So it's a great way to archive. We're now making sure that everything, you know, we want to keep, we keep. It's a great way to have all the student work accessible anywhere. It makes it great for our teacher and instructor to have access to that. And then we just make sure it's an absolute, you know, process that anybody that comes back with anything on camera, that is immediately, that's the first stop, is get that on the server, make sure it's archived, you know, regardless. We have about 60 to 70 students on both junior and senior level. We're part of a career and technical education program here in the Kansas City School District. So that's the curricular side of things, with students learning the aspect, all the different aspects of producing. Then on the administrative side, starting out with our school board, we have two school board meetings a month that we produce from our commons, which is across our campus. And then any number of community events, things over at our Performing Arts Hall, which is over across town, and then supporting other community things on location or downtown and things like that. So it's kind of a two scale. One is trying to use the students as our production crew, get the students trained to the point where when we do get a call from the community administration, we have a studio and a production crew that we can just mesh right in.
Very cool. So how does NDI fit into the whole workflow for you folks?
Oh, wow. Like coming out of a cave. just because of the way things are situated, and we never really realized that we'd have to, you know, deploy this kind of technology. But in the school district, you're not always afforded the opportunity to have an architect come in and say, hey, we'll build a studio. And you've got studio A, B, C, and D all within a short run to your head end. We're hundreds of feet away, thousands of feet. So the NDI, we started back in 2017, just over across our hallway, we have a stage and a pop that up there, Trent. I'm not sure how well you guys can see this, but on the monitor back there, you can see our stage. And we have three PTZ cameras over there. And four. And we had run hard cable, but just connectivity and just loss and things like that.
We had hard cable when we were analog.
Right.
When we tried to switch over to SDI, we were too far away.
Yeah, that's the
when. That's when we had to go to NDI.
Yes, and that was an awakening for us. It was like, what is this NDI thing, and how is this going to work with our TriCasters? We're moving. We're also teaching our students that, you know, the days of a cameraman, three cameramen standing in the local news affiliate filming the news anchors are long gone. Everybody's going PTZ, and the news anchors sometimes have to run their own cameras from the desk. But that's part of our workflow now, is to go to PTZ NDI cameras, and we have them on the stage. Of course, we've have the studio networked. We started out in the studio. We were doing a cooking show slash reading show where we needed a down shot on a desk. So that was our first PTZ camera here. And we've got over in our commons, which is on the other side of our campus, called the commons because that's a little stage, has our big drop down projectors, monitors all around. That's where our school board holds its meeting. They used to be on the stage, but now that everything has changed with COVID, they're spread out in a much bigger horseshoe. And we switched 5 cameras over there on the school board meeting, able to bring
them. All of those are PTZ.
And all of those are PTZ. And then, so right that in our basic facility right now, that's what we have going with NBI. And what we're just really, really excited about is the bridge, because with the bridge, we'll be able to branch out to some of our other facilities and produce out of this room something we would have to go on location to use, the control room over there. We have a Umstad Performing Arts Hall, which is over on the Pro Football Hall of Fame campus, where they're building that new Pro Football Hall of Fame village. And even on our home football game nights, where our high school home football team plays in the professional Tom Benson Hall of Fame stadium, we produce with NDI. We have several Sparks. We switch 3 to 5 cameras over there at the stadium. And so maybe eventually we'll be able to connect through their VLAN and do everything over out of this facility. And so we'll also have a baseball stadium that we just put equipment in, Thurman Munson Memorial Stadium. That was an opportunity to do all of our high school baseball games from there. So we got a couple outside cameras and we have a TriCaster down there. So that's kind of what we say NDI, boy, we're cheerleaders for it. We're all about it because it has really solved a lot of technical problems for us.
Yeah, it sounds like it was the right thing at the right time in terms of technology that allowed you to move forward. And now there's a whole bunch of exciting new things. I mean, if I had the choice to go back to high school, I'm coming there because it sounds like you guys have a great program going on. So where do you see yourself moving next for system upgrades? And will NDI be a bigger part of that? You mentioned the baseball, but is there other tech that you're looking to possibly expand into?
Well, just in the studio, our studio monitors we have will be NDI shortly instead of SDI, because we have connection issues in there. Mm-hmm. In our commons, we're going to put an NDI monitor on the projector, so we can feed back over there. We're planning to feed back to the projector and stage with NDI. And then we got two more
venues. We have our basketball field house, which right now is going over major changes. Mm-hmm. And they're putting a 4-panel drop-down scoreboard in it, a new speaker system. And we're going to put PTZ cameras in there so we can stream our basketball games out to our fans. And then also at our natatorium, which hosts the state swim meets, we hope to be able to put some weatherproof cameras in there. That's a really rough environment because of the chlorine, but it's a perfect application for some weatherproof PTZ cameras. And then that way our swimming would be represented also.
And we're going to use the bridge at every place so we can come back here.
Right. And we're very, very lucky because we have gone through some change in our administration and have onboarded a new person in our technology department, a really nice fellow, Brad Rector. And he is all about helping us out. We just put in some new fiber from switch to switch and really increased our throughput. And so having a good relationship with your IT folks, they make a lot of jokes about it, but you know, we just make it a point to reach out, make sure they understand what our needs are. A lot of times it's really foreign to them. The video is like, ooh, I don't want to even think about that stuff, but it's all, you know, networky stuff. And so having them on our side, especially in the school environment, because there's so much filtering and there's so much containment of the bandwidth. And so it works out really well to have those relationships.
Trent, Bill, thanks a lot for joining me today. It's really exciting to hear about the program and everything you've got going on with all the students there.
Okay. Dave, you know, thanks a lot, you guys. Really appreciate that. And Trent and I both just want to make sure that all of the folks that we work with here at the school district, our superintendent, Jeff Talbert, our school board president, J.R. Rinaldi, Heather Heater, she's the head of our technology department. And again, Brad Rector, and of course, our teacher, Jacqueline Power. Jackie brings that spark to our students, and these kids, you know, some of them really, really have it. So thanks again. Really appreciate it. And go ahead.
And I want to thank Lisa and John.
Lisa and John at Key Code up in Michigan. Yeah, they have been a wonderful support to us. Nothing, we just call, hey, and they are on it. And so, they're great folks. So thanks a lot, Key Code.
Key Code Media. Daily broadcast post-production. Keeping you ahead on technology.
Well, first of all, who are some folks? We got John Rutherford from our Key Code Media Detroit team. We got CJ Farrell from Bird Dog, Chris Burgos from New Tech and at his location in New Jersey, and Steve McKenna from Studio Network Solutions. All right, let's jump into it. What's new? We called this whole shindig the state of NDI, so let's start with that. What do you feel the state of NDI is in 2022? And how about you give me one fresh new way your customers are utilizing NDI today? Is it NDI 5, recently updated products, things they couldn't do just a few years ago? John, let's start with you.
Thanks, Jeff. NDI has really been a game changer all the way around. We've got customers that, similar to what Canton Public Schools was just discussing, that are challenged with traditional, baseband or other video distribution technologies. As part of that, the whole NDI toolkit has really blown that completely out of the water. I mean, it's just expanded it beyond normal expectations and provided all new functionalities that we can bring to our customers that they hadn't even thought about. We've got some similar use cases, which I think we're going to get into some more details later on, but we've got a similar school up in here in Michigan that was looking at doing a baseband video distribution in the classroom. We turned that all upside down and not only did the video distribution over NDI, but gave the teacher tools to be able to manipulate and work with that content right off of the desktop that the students are working on. So it's just completely changed the way that they were even thinking of doing it.
Awesome. CJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think in the state right now with, NDI, one of the coolest things is just flexibility. I think once people convert, their HD SDI or HDMI to IP, they can transport that signal wherever they want. And, things like TriCaster, Bridge, Cloud, all that stuff is just a way to transport that video signal. So it's really cool to see how people can kind of open their eyes and now they can transport that signal how they like. One of the cool things that we've been seeing lately, at least in like the Bird Dog ecosystem, is just taking advantage of API calls with integrations like QSIS and Crestron. We've had a lot of AV integrators who've been able to utilize those plugins for conference rooms or, auditoriums and be able to just kind of control that right on their touch panels. So it's really been cool to see some of our AV companies and integrators utilize that with our encoders and decoders. And I think just really getting people comfortable with stepping into the world and showing them all the options that they have. And then they're not just, a point to point anymore. They can take that signal wherever they need.
Steve, what new coolness are you seeing?
Oh man, it's just really that explosive growth phase, right? It's all these, to Chris's point at the beginning with the new head of NDI, it's all the NDI was built for a specific purpose, right? And it was to converge onto a standard network, something that didn't exist at the time. There was no IT or IP based way to transmit video effectively, certainly not with any, extreme quality or anything like that in a broadcast environment. But where video has crept in just everywhere, whether it's phones, customer engagement for corporations, NDI can now really expand as well as that transport protocol. It's built into so many products. It's certainly built into our own product, the one we make for New Tech here. But even taking NDI beyond live broadcast, right? For us, it's about getting things into post, getting organized, get tagged, making them usable over time, being able to go back and repurpose them. But even for things we want to keep that aren't live, right? I mean, New Tech's historically, a switcher company. Now it's got a transport protocol. It's a distribution. It's all of these different things that's so exciting to kind of be at the forefront as these new workflows get made. One of our clients in Colorado actually uses it to record 15 operating theaters for a veterinary school. Well, we're not going to live stream every one of those. However, we are going to reference them, and it's about that enhancement of video that Chris was talking about kind of at the beginning here too, right? Because there's certainly enhancements you can do live. There are lower thirds, there are over the shoulder graphics, there's all that stuff. But a lot of enhancement is repackaging, cutting, what you do in post, and things like that. And so just that ability to catch that stuff live and use this universally across any video application, whether it's streaming stuff to digital signage inside a hospital or capturing, you know, capturing lectures, capturing, you know, operating theaters, whatever the case may be, video is a way to engage and to learn in a more effective way in many cases. So to see it kind of expand like this is incredibly exciting. It's a fun time to be alive.
And Chris, what do you think? What cool stuff are you seeing?
First, just like this community that we have built right here. I mean, this call is the result of a lot of NDI progress, and this is just people I get to see and talk to semi-regularly. So there's that. I want to take a high profile example, a low profile example, and something that's like maybe a little bit inside baseball. Let's rewind the clock a year ago. Lots of organizations are still in the pandemic and we're doing things with SRT, right? SRT, one signal goes over the wide area network to one destination. Today we have Bridge, and that exact same concept is with that one connection, we can now send multiple signals in multiple different directions. And it's really just such a game changer from where we were. And then a very real personal example, I just came back from SVG in Atlanta, the college summit. I did a talk over there. I could have honestly cut my talk into 2 seconds, just said hi and waved to the crowd, because so many educational organizations got involved with new tech in the last 2.5 years. There were at least, I think, 7 different colleges that came up to us directly in our little space and just said, thank you for this new product that we're using. And I know this is boasting and not normally the message we present, but it feels good to know that we are working with organizations that have an impact on people at the collegiate level, whether it's just broadcasting the sports teams that we love to watch, but also empowering these end users. And so the state of NDI, strong.
Awesome. Let's bump to one question that just came in. Jesse was asking, will NDI ever have products that are HDCP compliant? Anyone want to jump on that, or I'll toss in my 2 cents.
Yeah, I mean, these are kind of different realms, right? But the answer for NDI is always potentially. The team is never like, it's ever growing, it's ever encompassing. As we sort of started, our viewpoint was very broadcast centric. We were in like, hey, how do we get this broadcast space into this IP space? I think these kinds of ideas weren't initially on the table. A lot of NDI started, as Steve McKenna pointed out, in acquisition. How do we get stuff into the product? And then eventually we've grown and grown and grown. So like the answer is inevitably, it's probable. Eventually NDI will consume the world. That's sort of the goal of everything we have going on. But you know, all jokes aside, I mean, today, I think where we were focused on was very much into the traditional broadcast space. And this is more an AV conversation that is growing. Our AV, our impact and space in the AV space is growing tremendously each year that NDI is out there.
Yep. Also, HDCP is a digital rights management setup. Its design is to make sure that you're transmit and you receive. That's the only thing in the path. NDI is inherently a broadcast protocol, getting one thing to multiple places. So yes, if encryption is put down the line, but that's kind of the antithesis of what NDI is really all about. It's kind of like, well, I could go ahead and try to encrypt SDI, but why would I? There's other ways to do that. All right, let's jump into another question here. NDI in the studio. Well, we got a studio here and it's NDI. Let's start with the inside of the building LAN network for traditional local NDI studio setups. We know at KeyCode, most common issues facing customers traditionally come down to the network topology inside the building. What advice can we give to folks who are building a brand new building? And what are the top things people should consider upgrading within their existing facilities network? Chris, let's start with you on this one.
I think contemporary things that we're going to see different, a push towards 10 gig is probably one of those big things that we're going to need. this is for 4K, but also just number of sources. Everything's got NDI these days. You got PTZ cameras from Bird Dog and converters from Bird Dog and a free app in your phone, and you need to get to the SNS facility. Oh, also, we need to go cross-country with our signal. There's just so much things that are NDI-enabled. So certainly upgrading to 10 gig is a big part of that. I also think that sometimes the conversation is a lot more simple than people want to make it. Things like just understanding the nature of all your overall IP workflow, right? Are you guys intermingling something like Dante in your guys' facility? You know, what is Dante capable of today versus what NDI is capable of, and how can we address these things? Why does every TriCaster have two network ports in the back of it if we pretty much want everything going on the 10 gig pipe? These sort of concepts, I think, are maybe not necessarily like, you don't need to have an IT degree to understand, like, hey, look, we're going to put a lot of our IP signals down one pathway, but get out to the public internet another pathway. And these sort of ideas are part of the rollout. I think the future is going to continue to be in this space of how can we do more with less. We always have that sort of efficiency part of NDI, whereas we're trying to squeeze more and more and more. So hopefully we won't push too far past that. But definitely 10 gig is should be on your horizon if you're going to be expanding your IP topology.
Awesome. Steve, any thoughts on the internal side of these things?
Yeah, I mean, coming from the post side and the server side, in a lot of ways, we're ahead of this curve, you know, as far as 10 gig. But a standard IT switch is not something you're going to want to use and mix your IT traffic with your video traffic, right? Historically, one thing about SDI that was nice, other than, you know, costs and things like that, was you naturally had a separated network. You had totally different network topologies, totally different protocols. Now, as everything converges, we have to build up that infrastructure. You know, if I have 100 roads going one way and I want to build one super highway going there, especially for those of you in LA are aware, if that highway is not wide enough, it can be quite tricky to get where you want to go. And that's really what's challenging here, too, is we've changed the bottleneck, right? Historically, Jeff, you know, SDI one-to-one, I got a router, I got this many ins, I got this many outs. Well, NDI can be limitless. To Chris's point, there's so many products. The CJ, I mean, I can get the little our little puck thing from Bird Dog that can I can just connect everything in my house. I can have wall plates everywhere. Well, you need the backbone to do that. And what we're seeing certainly now with the advent of some of the newer network protocols and NIC cards, I mean, we're going 100 gig in the backbone, 10 gig out, and then that leads to, is there enough packet buffer memory in the switch? So the best thing I can tell you in considerations for that aspect of things is video is not normal IOPS IT data. It has a latency issue. It has a streaming issue. There are other considerations to have. And so the best thing you can do is certainly, first and foremost, make sure you're getting products that are built for video, whether that be switches or NRS servers or whatever. I mean, obviously, a camera is built for video. But also work with someone who understands video topology, video network requirements, people like Kiko, like yourself, like John and CJ, so that you can really get a scope of what that looks like. And understand all the different variances within NDI-HX, NDI-HX2. Do I want full NDI-5? What's the audio look like? How is it syncing? Those kind of things. So the physicality of that is incredibly important. And being able to ideally separate out those networks still, whether that be through a switch with a VLAN or something like the NRS, where I can direct connect all the multiple devices and pass that thing through.
Cool. And one of the easy things that a lot of people could maybe relate to over the last couple of years, you know, you're trying to get a Zoom call done for work at home because, you know, everybody was stuck at home, but you got three different people around the house trying to stream stuff from Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever, and your quality just goes into the toilet. So that logical separation of the traffic, at least physical, if you can, is going to make for the best possible experience. We didn't feed SDI down the same network that people are trying to get their email on. And doing the same thing today is not necessarily going to give you the best results. CJ, how is Dino helping with the facilities side of this, customers being able to test out and configure networks?
Yeah, I think Dino, which is, you know, one of our newest software offerings on Windows, basically running a speed test on your NDI network. And as kind of, you know, you and Steve alluded to, like in the traditional sense, people would come into studios on, you know, maybe a 5-year-old system, and they would say, look at this cool new NDI thing. They'd put it everywhere and they'd flood the network and everything would shut down. And so that was a big challenge for people in the world of NDI. And it's been cool as it's progressed that people are coming a little bit more cognizant of it's more than just plug and play and, like, you know, everything's going to work. So Dyno has really helped when we have people that will, you know, say, hey, I plug this in, everything should be working, and find out they have a $20, you know, TP-Link switch sitting on the desk trying to do over a gig of traffic. And so Dyno is one of those things that we can run in the network, and it'll show, you know, the specs of the machine running on, and it'll, you can simulate running those signals through your network. You can simulate how many receivers you want and how many sources you want. So it's been really cool sending that to someone and being like, you know, this one decoder off in the other room is dropping frames. Oh yeah, that thing's on the TP-Link switch. So it's been really cool to see people utilize it in that method to basically isolate issues and just kind of feel more confident, especially when they go into a setup and want to, you know, get that going without dropping a bunch of money before their tests begin.
Awesome. John, what have you seen in helping folks get this traffic dilemma figured out?
Yeah, well put. First of all, we typically require IT involvement early in the pre-sales process, particularly if we're dealing with, you know, storage. Keeping all that on a separate network is really the only way to guarantee quality of service in that level. If there's anything that came good out of COVID, it's the fact that IT folks now understand the impact video has on their networks. And it makes those conversations a lot easier when we want to separate a network, have it specifically for this role. We can give them all the metrics and all of that, but the reality is they've now been educated by bloody knuckles and scraped knees trying to get that stuff to work, as you alluded to, Jeff. When people are at home and they're dealing with, you know, limited bandwidth in their home internet, and certainly inside a facility when a lot of traffic is coming in, virtual meetings and so forth. So it's made the conversation easier, but it's still critically important to get them involved and help them understand, as Steve said, that the kind of traffic we're talking about here is not what you're used to. And if the infrastructure is not there, there's going to be problems. So it's really just getting the right people in the room as early on in the process and making sure everybody's on the same page.
It keeps that discussion later on from the IT person asking, you did what to my network? From coming up.
Yeah, that's the worst. Usually, and you just kind of plug in. Yeah, that's the worst. Was then just kind of plug into a switch, and then all of a sudden everybody's unhappy. You know, video is affecting the IT users, IT is affecting the video users, and just a lot of anger.
Just because you have open ports doesn't mean that you've got bandwidth.
Right.
You know, that's one of those things. Andrew, Markish Term. I mangled that. I'm used to last names being mangled myself. Is there a fact sheet or guide for recommended PC specs or a fact sheet for machines running bridge software for host and join for multiple up to 4 1080p 60 video feeds? I think probably, Chris, you should kick off on that one.
We've got some stuff up on NDI.tv, so I'd recommend going there. What you're looking for isn't too complicated. A lot of things we do in NDI today are GPU driven. So, you know, if I were to give you a quick benchmark, it's a decent computer, something made in the last 2 years, a graphics card that also came on the last 2 years, and you'll probably crunch out a lot more than 4 NDI feeds. To be honest, with 4 feeds, unless you're pushing 4K, you might be able to repurpose something that's already in the facility today. Windows 10, minimum in that respect, something with a contemporary Intel GPU. The demands of a basic bridge setup aren't too crazy. It's when we want to do a lot more than just connect two facilities that we're looking to sort of up the ante. And I think that is where you might be looking to have a larger scale processor, a larger scale graphics card to sort of like drive these functions.
One of the things we've seen on that is if you were looking for an excuse to upgrade your nonlinear editing computer, because it's maybe 2-3 years old, you could say, hey, give me a brand new computer for the NLE, and I can take the old one and turn it into a bridge setup because it's going to work great. Usually there's a lot of GPU in there, even though it's slightly older and you've kind of amortized that cost on into your taxes already. So talking about bridge, NDI over the internet, let's look outside of the building, public internet. So using the technologies like NDI Bridge and Bird Dog Cloud, we're going to be connecting things from one facility to another. What are the new challenges that people are going to need to think about? CJ, let's start with you on that one.
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it earlier how, you know, once people are connecting into the NDI world, the flexibility and transport is kind of through the roof. And, you know, utilizing things like Bridge has been an awesome way for us to refer people to test out things on NDI. You know, we can go into the cloud route, which has a little bit, you know, a deeper of a rabbit hole, but you can utilize both to send these signals wherever you want. And so it's really been cool to see people kind of open their eyes to this whole, you know, remote production thing, especially with PTZs, just because you want to be able to have that signal control from wherever you are in the world. And, you know, we're getting better at not letting things stop us, like port firewalls and things like that. Like we've been able to utilize, you know, endpoints up in the cloud so that Amazon can handle that on the Bird Dog side. And then it's just been cool to see how people are getting more creative. And that's not even counting like mobile networks where people are creating, you know, bonded routers and things like that. And so really there's a lot of things that we can utilize to get over these hurdles and then be able to transport signals wherever we want.
Cool. John, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I would just concur with what everyone else has said. It's the future. It's where everything's going. You just need to make sure all the pieces and parts are lined up properly.
And having myself lived in rural Michigan once upon a time, the one thing I can say is bad connectivity is bad connectivity. I can't fix a network that doesn't exist. So I used to live at the end of a line that was put in by the Rural Electrification Association to run, you know, power and phone line out from a GTE data center, or not data center, it was just a, you know, CO. I had crappy connectivity. I could not get connectivity over a certain level because that's where I lived. If in that sort of situation today, I'd say, hey, ultra wideband 5G, let's go sell. You can't run more data through a pipe that isn't large enough to support it. So you need to make sure that you've got, it's not going to stretch. It just doesn't work that way.
And it's kind of the same challenge we were talking about in the facility, Jeff, right? Like you can't make a network that's not there. And that's why one of the nice things with being in facility or having NDI bridge connect multiple facilities together is I can bring those things back where I do have control. I can say, all right, let's go over that terrible connection, but now let's get that signal in where I can start feeding it around internally and build out that infrastructure easily, where I do have that authority. It's my building, it's my cable. I can do what I want. I can hit Cat 6, I can, you know, run over fiber optic, whatever. There's also, I've seen a much larger prevalence recently of people getting an ISPs providing direct point-to-point lines. We're starting to be able to leverage all of that dark fiber that was built that may not be capable of streaming full resolution 4K DPX to every household in the country or world. However, it is capable of being repurposed into buildings that are being built with it there that I can get it from one facility to another. I have a lot of clients now, certainly between New York, LA, New York, LA, Atlanta, Atlanta, Chicago, Seattle, Kansas City, kind of that have just their own link. And then we don't have to transit the cloud. We have a little less variability. We can control that one highway in between the two facilities and then kind of, again, many to many on that side. I also have one to CJ's point about bonded cellular that's using NDI with an NRS to actually capture from remote production crews. So the high-res content, certainly for AIR, for the feature documentary that they're working on, is still captured locally, right? You're not going to transit ARRI RAW over the internet in real time, nor are you going to use NDI to do it. But you will. They do use the NDI to capture to their NRS in, that one's in Chicago, I think. And what happens there is they start cutting on proxies. The offline workflow is there, it's ready. And then when the field team gets back with the high res, we just press conform. We don't have to, oh, let's ingest it. Let's do this. You can conform it right on the drive that it came in on. It doesn't really matter. So again, just a massive amount of time saving as well, even in non-live broadcast environments. Just, hey, get me dailies back quicker. I don't need them to be perfect. I'm just cutting them. The producer wants to see. And they didn't fly to Alaska with us on that side. So it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think another point to that, as you alluded to, Jeff, is, you know, you can't control what you can't control, but you can be aware of the issues that may come up during a troubleshooting scenario, one of which may be the ISP just needs to reroute traffic because their local data centers and their local aggregation points are just oversaturated. They don't know what data is going through that. They don't know what latency they're introducing into that. They're just doing what they need to do for quality of service across their entire customer base. So oftentimes during troubleshooting, there needs to be this onion unpeeling to identify exactly where the breakpoint might be.
Yep, and that's always a fun conversation to have. Chris, any thoughts on this?
Man, I'm listening to Steve, and I just want to point out that like what SNS is doing with the NRS is very underrated in the space. I think enough people, and this is the Bird Dog team has done an amazing job, and they've been a very early NDI partner, and lots of people know what's going on with Bird Dog, and we love what they do for us. But I think just thinking of that concept that Steve just presented of like the complexities of like higher end tiers of production, right? What is that broadcast look you're going to achieve? Outside of what we do with the local area network, NDI starts to really change a lot of games. Specifically, if we're talking games, I think the esports environment starts to change dramatically. We talked about SRT earlier. I think about the number of ways that small scale productions are changing. Your church community, which usually is your local congregation, can now extend far beyond your local borders, and you can get interacted with, or for that matter, any house of worship can now interact with people states, countries away, leveraging a lot of free tools. It's a very different outlook from where we were 15 years ago. It's a very different outlook from where things were. Everything is broadcast and costs a very large amount of money. So I look at all these pieces and I see where NDI has sort of brought us forward. And the biggest piece for me was that bridge release and what I'm doing. Like in this current environment, I'm going bridge from my apartment to a studio, back to my apartment into this Zoom call. And this is all working flawlessly. And I don't have to have an entire equipment rack set up for my gear now. I can just sort of work. This is a very real world experience. I'm doing this every single day. And granted, I am a new tech employee, but you could be doing this too. There's a lot of free tools between me and the TriCaster that I'm using.
Exactly. But you're not going to do it on AOL dial-up. So make sure your internet service provider is able to get that for you. We're getting to the point where if you're on 5G and it's ultra wide band, you can get there. Yeah.
I know.
That's the exciting part of all this. So speaking of exciting parts, I left my crystal ball in the car and they wouldn't let me go out and get it. So what cool stuff, what new types of workflows are you seeing being developed out there? What products are your teams looking to create to better help creative productions and businesses in general? Anybody? Just jump on in on that one.
I mean, sure. You want to go, Chris?
I'll start.
Okay. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, let me just give you a little bit of the future, right? The future, I think, is in NDI development specifically, going to be how we continue to push on these emerging markets. XR and VR and AR, these things typically require massive rigs to happen locally. We've seen a lot of different organizations get involved with this, whether it's the Epic Engine that's out there driving a lot of these productions. Our own parent company, VizRT, is involved in a lot of stuff. But look for NDI to start to solve these really complex timing issues and bring that into that space. I think that is one of those things that's very nearly on the horizon. And we didn't talk too much about this, but there's a new team at NDI. It's a growing team at NDI. And with that advanced SDK, which sort of has like those cutting edge developers on it, we're going to see a lot of things sort of grow out of that space and then start to hit our production tools over the next couple of years that'll really change what the answers are to our questions and what our problems are really going to be for the future, which is these complex things that we don't necessarily talk about in traditional broadcast, but are very much at the forefront of contemporary media. So I would say like the future is coming very fast and furious in NDI with respect to these sort of like forward facing things like the metaverse.
Cool. Steve.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just going to continue to be, I think, speed as existing networks improve, quality. I mean, NDI5 with some of the 4K bit rates are just exponentially better than what they were before. So we're just going to see things be better. And with the broad adoption, I think it's going to be really similar in an allegory to my world of the kind of old NAS SAN thing. You know, years ago, it's I got to be a SAN, I'm running video. It's the only way to do it. But NAS had more users. And because it had more users, its development cycle was faster. There were more people contributing and doing things. I think you're going to see the same thing with NDI. It's just going to continue to accelerate. More people have more eyes on it. You know, the fact that it's open and it's there and we can integrate it into products on that side. And then, you know, purely from the SNS side and the NRS side, it's about continuing to enable workflow. We're always adding codec for our transcode in Slingshot that Nate mentioned earlier. We're always adding more ability to customize fields within the asset management, restrict views, send files to different locations. And the other thing that's really cool here, I think, is the trend for me is everything's going to get easier. NDI self-discovers. Back to, you know, coming along even from our Kansas City schools, Jeff, you were saying it's a little easier than when you were in high school. It's a lot easier than when I was in high school too, on that side. And I think it is going to continue to get easier and it's going to allow things like the capture stuff that Chris was talking about for non-technical users to really create great productions and not just, you know, kind of what, I don't know, Instagram filters or TikTok filters did, you know, for the layperson for photos. We're going to see that with video. And it's going to happen. And all you're going to need to do is make sure you got the right equipment behind it, the stuff that supports it. I don't think it's ever quite going to be, give me an app and we'll probably put lower thirds on there and we're going to do the Super Bowl through my iPhone on that side. But who knows? Maybe, you know, things happen. With that, though, comes the increased challenge of that kind of hybrid world between software and hardware. You have to have both. Software is only as good as the hardware that it runs on. And there's only so much that can be done to make existing hardware more efficient. So there's a law of diminishing returns that comes up too, where you have to kind of beef up, whether that's storage capacity, network infrastructure, things like that. And to control the ones that we can control, again, the ones within our facilities, it's gonna be a lot harder to upgrade the physical internet infrastructure of the United States. Than it is going to be to take your building or your house or Chris's apartment and run some Cat 6A through it or go 25 fiber optic, Chris, which we can get you a card for your NRS. It's ridiculous. So, but that's what I'm saying.
And one of the things I'm saying, I was at a client site yesterday and we were looking at some edit bays and they said, well, hey, we got this conference room upstairs. Can we play out to there if they ask for it? Went up there and we took a look and yeah, we can arrange for this. And they said, well, what about that one? It's like, you know what? I can just do this with NDI. You can play it in both at the same time. And if you need to, we can then drop a bridge in and play it to the outside. Anybody else on the other side? I can easily expand your network, you know, network video capability in ways that weren't possible, you know, before the existence of bridge. It's just kind of cool. Any other thoughts on the future?
Yeah, I think from at least the, you know, bird dog side of the field, we're definitely trying to connect everything. I've kind of mentioned it really a 360 approach with our Silicon 2 update that we have coming out where we're trying to make everything basically become an endpoint. So whether that's encoding or decoding, basically having that on the network, you can send that signal wherever you want. And I think that's really plays into a lot of workflows, especially when we've talked about a little bit, NDI definitely was more broadcast centric, I think, when it came out and from NewTek's approach. And we're all kind of just stepping into the AV world. Like, we were just at Infocom, and it was cool talking with a lot of those, you know, dealers and integrators about how they're, you know, they're starting to look into NDI. We have, you know, things like the wall plate and the NDI pod. So trying to get those solutions for those guys as well is kind of, I think, where we're going right now into the future. And it's cool to see just how many applications NDI can have. And I think the future is bright. You know, we're it's still a young protocol, and, you know, it kind of in its toddler years, really. So definitely going into that AV space and just connecting everything.
Cool. We ran out of time. So my apologies to Matt Damon, and my thanks to our entire panel for joining us here to talk about the future of NDI in its current state. And if you've got questions, please keep them coming on the chat. We'll work to get those answered offline. And thanks, everyone, for joining us today. If there's any questions outside of the chats, please reach out to us here at KeyCode Media, and we'll look to get some answers for you, because that's what we try to do. Bye, everybody. Thanks for watching Broadcast to Post. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes. Follow KeyCode Media on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to receive news on additional AV, broadcast, and post-production technology content. See you next time, folks.